It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Wednesday, the 29th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Facebook has given investors a sense of its quarterly profits, and the news is good. The company had 14% user growth and $3.2 billion in revenue. And here's another number. Facebook advertising, by some estimates, accounts for 10% of all advertising online. In other words, the social network's impact on marketing via the internet is bonkers. Technical term. Nate Elliott of Forrester says, AdShare is cool, but Facebook's real success is about making those ads more effective.
The combination of having advertising that's a little more effective now than it was a year ago, and much more importantly, the fact that they've got lots more users now than a year ago adds up to some positive results.
Nate Elliott is principal analyst at Forrester. By the way, this marks the second quarter of solid growth for Facebook. Edward Snowden's impact on revelations about government surveillance around the world continues to affect the business of cloud computing. You may have seen last week's headline about Amazon building a server farm in Germany due to regulations about where German citizens' data is stored. This isn't just happening in the West. This week, Chinese smartphone maker Xiaomi announced that it planned its own data center in India. New York Times tech columnist Molly Wood joins us to talk about this. Molly, do you know where all your data is being stored?
I know exactly where it all is and who has it and who's getting it, don't I?
I'm thinking that mine are all on Google servers somewhere. But Xiaomi is building this data center because of concerns about privacy?
Yeah, and in fact, I would say even stronger concerns. You know, Xiaomi has had such an interesting rise to fame, but there have been problems with Chinese-made smartphones before. And in fact, some of them were even banned from being sold, or there were trade restrictions put on them because of concerns that they might be carrying spyware.
Literal spyware.
Literal spyware, actual espionage ware that was pre-installed by the Chinese government. And Xiaomi is hoping to allay some of those concerns by telling its users, we will not store your data on Chinese servers.
It seems like this is sort of a growing trend, this idea of companies having to actually put their data centers within the national borders of countries that they serve.
Customers are more and more concerned about their information. They want to know who has access to it. And it's a smart move to attempt to reassure people up front. It is really interesting to contemplate. And I wonder, you know, if at some point some country will step up and say, you know, we are the Switzerland of data storage. You can safely store data here and we will not honor requests to sift through it. But then that question gets even more complicated if you don't trust the manufacturers involved either.
Our good friend and New York Times tech columnist, Molly Wood. Molly, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Earlier this year, I interviewed Detroit booster and billionaire Dan Gilbert, and he told me that he thought Detroit's auto industry hadn't quite yet turned the corner into thinking like innovative technology companies. But generally, there's still been a steady and slow acceleration of car companies towards techie vehicle features. Screen technology, enhanced self-parking software, and internet-connected vehicles, to name a few. To get a closer look at a few more, David Wagner brings us this report.
I'm taking this test drive outside the headquarters of Qualcomm. They're a company built on smartphone chips. But lately, they've been trying to get their chips inside another kind of device. Cars.
Fundamentally, the car is turning into, you know, a smartphone.
That's Senior Vice President Kanwalinder Singh in the passenger seat. I'm behind the wheel of an Audi A3, the first car with its own 4G connection. It has more detailed Google Maps, internet radio, Netflix streaming for the kids in the back seat. Drivers can dictate tweets using voice command, and the car reads incoming text messages.
Hope you're not texting and driving.
Singh says Qualcomm is giving drivers the features they want, and they're doing it in a safe way.
We believe that driver distraction would actually be alleviated by providing these services. When all this is embedded, like it is in this Audi, phone calls destined to you and your smartphone would actually come through the car's antenna and play through the car's audiovisual system, and you would interact through the car.
But some experts say moving these features from the phone to the car doesn't make us any safer.
I think they're really ignoring the powerful effect of cognitive distractions.
Linda Hill leads a team of driving safety researchers at the UC San Diego School of Medicine. She says voice command might cut down on visual distraction, preventing drivers from staring down into their laps, But eye-tracking studies have shown that even when drivers have their hands free and their eyes on the road, their minds can still be elsewhere.
And a recent study looking at that found that the voice-to-text increased driving errors more on a closed driving course than text-to-text did, shockingly.
Hill does like the idea of building one bit of technology into cars, though, an app that disables phones in moving vehicles. In San Diego, I'm David Wagner for Marketplace.
And adding to the annals of Kickstarter companies that have been crowdfunded despite also being essentially useless, the No Phone does not call, text, or even turn on. It's for you to have that familiar thing in your pocket without having to be antisocial. You can attach a mirror to one side if you want a selfie functionality. But seriously, folks, at Deadline, this project had raised over $13,000. Hey, that's money that could have been spent on public radio pledge drives. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.